Shalom and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. Today we are doing our gospel portion and we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 26, verse 20 through 30. So fairly short. Probably read some commentary from Matthew Henry. And then we're going to read Acts chapter 7, which is like 60 verses. And it deals with Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And it really just kind of shows you the religious elite and how they really don't care at all about the truth. As a matter of fact, the scriptures talk about them being cut to the heart by the things that Stephen says. And if you remember in the last chapter, it says they were looking at him and he looked like he had the face of an angel. I mean, but they don't care because they're not really interested in the things of God. They're interested in position, power, and things of that nature, money. Not much different than religious systems today. And so we're going to be taking a look at that. Also, real quick, website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to support this work. This particular podcast, you know, we don't sell products or push products or sponsors or anything. It's 100% listener supported. And so if you want to support it, please consider going to scriptureandprophecy.com, becoming a Patreon subscriber. Or you can do one-time gifts. And there's also a P.O. box. So scriptureandprophecy.com. Check out the devotionals and stuff there and the archives. All right, let's dig in. Let's go ahead and start by reading Matthew chapter, this is our gospel portion for the week, 10 verses, Matthew chapter 26, verse 20 through 30. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I'm just going to read Matthew Henry's commentary to go along with this, and then we'll get into the book of Acts here. Here's what Matthew Henry said about these 10 verses. He said, Observe. The place for their eating, the Passover, was pointed out by Christ to his disciples. He knows those hidden ones who favor his cause and will graciously visit all who are willing to receive him. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed. Those who would have Christ's presence in the gospel Passover must do what he says. It well becomes the disciples of Christ always to be jealous over themselves, especially in trying times. We know not how strongly we may be tempted, nor how far God may leave us to ourselves. Therefore, we have reason not to be high-minded, but to fear. Heart-searching, examination, and fervent prayer are especially proper before the Lord's Supper, that as Christ our Passover is now sacrificed for us, we may keep this feast, renewing our repentance, our faith, in his blood and surrender ourselves to his service. All right. Let's dig into the main story for today. The book of Acts, chapter 7. We're going to be reading out of the King James Bible. And actually what I want to do is I want to go back 3 or 4 verses from chapter 6 and then move into chapter 7. So let's start with verse 12 in chapter 6. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from the kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that they shall come forth, and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him on the 8th day, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And he delivered him out of his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Charan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known unto his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem, and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time was promised due nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dwelt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceedingly fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in the words, in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffering wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he was supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee ruler and judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at that saying, and was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord, in a flame of fire and bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled, and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, and I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee ruler and judge? And the same God did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you for your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him on Mount Sinai, and with our father who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them in their hearts, turned back again to Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us, for as this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifices unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of the fathers unto the days of David, whom found favor before God and desired to find the tabernacle for the God of Jacob. I have to stop for a second because I just realized something. Let's go back to verse 45. Let's start with verse 44. It says, Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers into the days of David. It's very curious and interesting that they translated that as Jesus this time. For those of you who don't know, the name of Jesus is actually Yahushua, or the short form version would be Yeshua, same name for Joshua, which is who they're talking about right here, which our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus. That's really Joshua, Yahushua, same name. It's just when we're talking about Jesus, the scriptures usually, the scriptures always refer to it as Jesus. If it's referring to Joshua, it says Joshua, but it's the same name. And the short form is Yeshua. And just so you know, I have a video on the YouTube channel, and I've done a podcast about it, where I show you the name of Jesus in a Hebrew manuscript of the book of Revelation, and I show you what his name actually was in Hebrew, what he would have been called in Hebrew. But it's just interesting that the King James translates that Jesus in this passage. And I've never known about this, and I've never caught it until now. And then, of course, other translations, I'm looking here, You know, the ESV says Joshua. The Geneva, if you go all the way, go way back to the Geneva, it says Isus, I-E-S-U-S. What's this? What? This is because we didn't used to have a J in the English language. So that was what it was before it was Jesus. He just had to go back far enough. So the very first translation translates it as that, which the tabernacle also our fathers received and brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles. And unfortunately, I haven't studied this out because I hadn't paid any attention to it, or I hadn't seen it. And of course, I'm just looking at different versions of the Bible here. Bear with me. This kind of threw me off. I wasn't expecting this. I'm going to have to look into this some more. Looking at the commentary from Matthew Henry to see if he says anything about it. He doesn't really address that. That's interesting, because he's talking about Joshua, but he translates it as Jesus. And so does the Geneva Bible, going way, way back. What is that? Like the 1400s was when the Geneva was created, and then the King James was in the 1600s by about 50 scholars who were all very fluent in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. Well, there you go. There's something to study out. And there's some homework for you. I'd love to hear what you come up with, what you think. And by the way, if you have a thought and you post it in the comments, make sure you do it in a humble way. Sometimes I see people come in, they're just so arrogant, they just know it all. And it's like, man, nobody's going to pay attention to comments like that. But if you have a thought about this, because I haven't had time to study it, because I'm just discovering this on the fly, let me know. I'd like to hear about it. All right, let's move on. We're almost done here. Verse 46. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Verse 47. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it. Stephen is just, he basically, what Stephen has done here is he's given him the whole history from Abraham all the way until now. And then he ends it by calling them out. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it. Verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You see, they're convicted, and now they're mad. How dare he call us out? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow, so the first martyr. And, you know, Stephen, he literally sees a vision of Christ at the right hand of God. And he's happy about this. And he calls to Christ to receive him. And he cries out that the sin not be held against those who are stoning him. And of course, you've got the Apostle Paul, right? He's standing there holding the coats. And this is kind of our introduction into the Apostle Paul, whose name was actually Shaul. And by the way, this is going to be mind-blowing for some people. Saul, Shaul, his name was not changed to Paul. God did not change his name to Paul. You'll never find that in the scriptures. That's what the Bible teaches, what the church seems to teach, and pastors seem to teach, that on the road to Damascus, that he turns into the Apostle Paul, but the scriptures never talk about that, ever. Now, they start referring to him as Paul. It is possible that because Paul was a Roman citizen that he had a Hebrew name, Shaul, and a Roman name, Paul. And it is very possible that because the church and the Christians were so afraid of this man named Shaul who was persecuting the church, that when he became a Christian, he started referring to himself as Paul, you know, because the other name came with some maybe not so good thoughts. You know, those things are all possible, but the scriptures don't say anything about this. They never say, and Shaul changed his name to Paul, or that God changed his name to Paul. That's not in there. So, you may not be aware of that, but you will not find that in the book of Acts. You can search till you're blue in the face. You're not going to find it. So we end with the martyrdom of Stephen, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, an example of somebody just completely filled with the Holy Ghost. And it ends with our introduction to Saul, who's standing there holding coats while the first Christian is murdered. And little does Saul know, little does Paul know, whatever you want to call him, little does he know, as he's standing there with those coats, that one day he would become the most famous apostle of the Messiah that the world has ever known, and that he would write documents. He would literally write letters to churches to encourage them from prison cells, and they would become some of the most famous words ever written. You think he ever thought that while he was sitting in prison? I highly doubt it. He was just trying to encourage some churches. You never know what God's doing with you and the work and with your life. You may even be sitting in prison and God's going, think about this. Paul's writing letters to churches from a prison cell that we all read and love and are encouraged by over 2,000 years later. He's known as the great apostle. You never know what kind of impact that the work that the Lord has prepared for you is going to have on the world and on others. Well, there you have it, my friends. That's the podcast for this morning. I pray that you found it interesting, and I hope that it blessed you, and I pray that in the name of Jesus. Please consider supporting the podcast, scriptureandprophecy.com, Lord willing, and we'll just have to wait and see, but I would love to continue our study in the book of Jubilees tomorrow if I can find the time to get to it. So that's the goal, and we'll see what happens. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.